Will President Ramaphosa's economic reconstruction and recovery plan get us there? The statesman presented the plan earlier today, highlighting the creation of 800,000 jobs, the reindustrialization of the economy, securing reliable energy supply in the short to medium term, infrastructure development, and bottom line, it all boils down to the acceleration of economic reforms. Let's interrogate the plan and its ability to foster resilience for a bounce back now with Miriam Altman, who's commissioner in the National Planning Commission of the presidency. Miriam, thanks so much for your time this evening. So we've got many still questioning whether this was just a PR exercise or if in fact we are looking at a real execution plan here that's going to get growth going again. How's this different to the number of plans we've got stashed away in the cupboard already? Was there anything bold about what was tabled?
Well, maybe the positive thing is that it wasn't completely different. It was very consistent with the development plans that we need to see. You know, at the moment, the president was very clear, resources are constrained. We need to get moving on a set of top priorities. Really what it was a focus in on critical priorities around employment-generating industries, and particularly those that have been really harmed by COVID, but which were meant to be priorities anyway, like tourism or agriculture, getting infrastructure moving with a new vigor, really making a much deeper commitment to energy procurement and a new energy paradigm around green energy, and strengthening revenue collection. Those were all priorities, but I guess they were embedded in larger programs, and now what it's saying is let's lift these things up as top priorities.
Okay, so like you say, consistency as far as the plan is, much of a positive. But what we do need to see is a step change in actual implementation, how this starts to translate to reality with, you know, effective enough mechanism to actually track effectiveness of it all, Miriam. So how do we rate that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I think that the critical issue here is how will implementation happen. Now, one of the things that they've done is they've brought in some really top capacity into the presidency. So when you refer to Operation Vulindlela and the partnership between Treasury and the presidency, they've brought, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but they've brought in Sean Phillips, who's an extremely seasoned bureaucrat, very, very capable, who's going to be coordinating that effort in the presidency. And so that's heartening. So he's going to be setting up the project management capability to track. But at the end of the day, what I thought also was important was that, the recovery plan is very clear that they're not taking the accountabilities away. Mm-hmm. You know, there has been a tendency of we always need something new, we always need new institutions, et cetera. And that's what really throws people off. Here what we're saying is let's prioritize a small set of top priority issues. And we're just going to have to, strengthen accountabilities, which is actually pretty critical. What I think needs to be thought about a little bit more, and this is where the National Planning Commission has been doing quite a lot of work, is to zero in on the kind of institutional capacity that's needed in the state to do any one of these things, from the splitting up of ESCOM to infrastructure delivery to strengthening revenue services, revenue services, revenue collection capability. All of those things are going to need greater capacity, stronger leadership, stability, resourcing. And so the NPC work that we've been posting on our website and have been issuing in the past period of months has really focused very much on specifically what needs to happen to strengthen that state capacity.
Yeah. And where's that sitting right now? Because, you know, it's one thing being cognizant of the kind of strength that needs to develop, on those fronts. Another thing, actually having it in place so that some of the targets that have been outlined, and the most glaring one, I think, today was the 800,000 employment opportunities expecting to be created in the coming months, being achieved at the end of the day?
Oh, well, that's a very interesting one. That program's been long in the works, actually. It's not a COVID-related story. Basically, the concept behind that is to build on, in part, EPWP, but to release, to have a program where communities can apply so that you're decentralizing it, that you're not trying to control everything and run programs as the state, but rather fund the energies of people on the ground. And there has been historically quite a lot of success with that, actually, of communities identifying what they need and then applying to a fund like that. So I'm actually quite hopeful about that particular approach that the presidency has been driving. And again, they've been working on that for quite a while, like maybe, I don't know, the past year. And so it's great to see that it's announced and that the budget is still committed to it.
Do you see, Miriam, investor buy-in actually coming through? Because we need to see, that 1.2 trillion rand investment target being hit by 2023. And many questioning whether that in itself is a viable target with government policy decisions that have hobbled economic growth thus far, really not coming through and actually playing their part effectively enough?
Well, I think what investors are going to need to see is firstly some stabilization in the fiscal framework. And this document probably needed to go a little bit further on that score, but I was very happy to see that they focused on revenue collection. It's something that I personally have been pushing very hard on. But they need to go a little bit further in getting the financial risks around the SOEs and municipalities sorted out, stabilizing the public sector wage bill, and getting more efficiency in spending. But I think equally, I think there are a number of steps that have been happening that will make investors feel heartened that they're waiting for. As an example, today I spoke in a workshop with André de Ruyter, who is the CEO of Eskom, as you know, and much to my amazement, he announced, as the CEO of Eskom, his intention to legally separate out the transmission business. Now, to be honest, I was impressed and stunned because I've never heard an Eskom CEO say those words. He had a date in mind, whether he achieves it or not. I was very impressed. And he has a plan, and he's moving on it on the functional separation, and that's really what we needed to see.
Yeah.
So he's showing confidence, and then we're starting to see in the judicial space movement on corruption in some quarters. So I think the combination of strengthening revenue collection, certainly seeing Eskom and hopefully Transnet with Portia Derby now as the CEO, who's been a little bit more quiet, but I imagine she's getting her ducks in a row. But there was mention of strengthening the port, of this very important focus on labor-intensive activity from tourism, agriculture, mining, infrastructure, which, is it kind of obvious, but it hasn't been what the state's been saying.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Well, Miriam, we're going to have to see how this unfolds, and of course, certainly a lot that we've got to unpack over the coming days as well, taking a look at this report and what has been tabled, the practicalities of it. These two points that you've highlighted in terms of increasing infrastructural capacity are a key, especially if we're going to start enhancing our industrialization capacity and start substituting imports and looking towards that as a mechanism for growth from here on out. But for now, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line. That, of course, Miriam Altman, who's Commissioner in the National Planning Commission of the Presidency.